Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
All right, everyone, hopefully starting a yearly tradition of doing a mock draft on this program before the actual NFL draft. I don't know why I've never had this idea before. And as always, one of my buddies here to join me, Ben Gretsch, you know, just threw out the bat signal. Ben was down. So we're going to go through, we're going to go pick by pick. We're going to make all 31 picks in the first round. And let's just starting with this observation. I mean, some years, Ben, it's very easy to do a mock draft. You're like, I'm going to get 8 picks, right? Almost no matter what I do. Like, the Raiders were taking Josh Jacobs. We knew that shit was happening. Sometimes we know, like, the first 5 picks in succession. This is a very weird year. I am not even 100% convinced Bryce Young goes one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm confident in that, but I'm totally with you on the broad point that there is I mean, it feels like it's more fun this way, too. But it feels like the NFL has done a good job of kind of keeping a lot of this under wraps this year. It's super unclear what's going to actually happen, at least to me.
Especially like with the betting markets reacting to rumors so crazily.
Right. But they've, like, they've done that over the last few years. But I guess I would have thought that would have tightened up over the years. But yeah, I mean, it's been aggressive over the last. This year, again.
Last year's quarterback class only having the one quarterback go in the first round after spending all offseason talking about Malik Willis and Sam Howell sort of has us feeling that way too. Like, there's no way 4 quarterbacks can go in the top 10 after what we just saw last year. But that, I mean, that's what the betting markets are saying. Like, the betting markets are like, these quarterbacks are all going in the first 5 picks.
I think if I had to do one on my own right now, and I've never done my own full mock draft, we're gonna have fun with it. The only reason I'm really here is to make sure that I mock the Bijan to the Cowboys to annoy you.
Oh, but he's not getting there, buddy. The Falcons the Falcons have Bijan.
I'm gonna talk you out of the Falcons.
All right, well, let's go. I will let you go with the first pick. You are on the clock as the Carolina Panthers with the first overall pick.
So the big thing that I've been, I guess my big take at the beginning of draft has been that Carolina might still trade out of this and just basically swap with Houston. We found out that Houston wanted to move up when the Bears were there, and Carolina, when they originally came up, wanted to move back. And the fact that they were like sort of first on Stroud and then they were really on Bryce Young. I think there's a possibility that we might still see the swap. We know that Houston really wants.
I think the weirdest timeline is the timeline that we are in which the Texans clearly want Bryce Young, but are not willing. If the people who exist in the Panthers or the Texans front office, and they're saying, we think Bryce Young has the potential to be a franchise quarterback, and you piddle over, you know, we don't really want to give up this pick. We don't really want to give up that. Then the front office doesn't trust the scouts, or they don't really think that Bryce Young is the franchise quarterback.
And now the talk is they're not even going to go quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of options.
I don't believe. I think if they stick there at 2, they're taking Stroud. Because
all right, well, I'll take Young to Carolina at 1, and then you have Houston at 2. So what do you think?
So we got Young at 1. I put out a mock this morning with my newsletter. I just have them taking Stroud. The betting markets basically have it like half Tyree Wilson, half Will Anderson, and then with Stroud clearly ahead of Levis and Anthony Richardson for the Texans, which I think makes sense given what all the reporting is that. Like, Lance Zierlein is close with them, and he said it's basically between those 3 guys. Anderson Tyree Wilson, two defensive players, two edge rushers, and CJ Stroud. And to me, I'm just looking at this team and I'm like, they're so bad. They're so pathetic without Deshaun Watson. I another year of Davis Mills doesn't make sense unless they're really all in on let's be horrible again for another year and try and get Caleb Williams or Drake May next year. But I'm going CJ Stroud number two for the Texans. And I actually bet this as well. There's a plus 450 out there on CJ Stroud at exactly number two. And I took that.
I like that. I especially like that as exact number two, because if there is a swap with the Texans, I would assume that if Carolina were to fall back to two, that's what they would be going to. I like the call that, you know, a lot of this has been smokescreen, because early on Stroud was the favorite to go one. I mean,
yes.
And all of this,
he was like minus 400 to go one.
Right. It seems like this is all built off the S2 cognition test stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of smokescreens every year with this stuff, right? We don't really know how it's going to play out. I'm not really buying that Stroud's fallen significantly. I like the call for him at two. Are we doing trades? Because I got the Cardinals at three, and I already won.
Yeah, if you want to do a trade, if you got the theoretical framework, I'm all down for trades.
All right, I'm gonna move Vegas back to seven and the Cardinals up to three to get
the Cardinals. You mean swap those?
I said that backwards. Vegas up to three, the Cardinals back to seven. So the Vegas can come up and get Will Levis.
Okay. Yeah. So we have Levis number three to the Raiders. Okay. So why that is interesting to me is I think the Colts really want Levis. Yeah. That to me, doesn't he just feel like, I don't know what Shane Steichen wants, but I know I've seen this front office and this owner make the same type of decisions every year at quarterback since Andrew Luck retired. And it all leads me to believe they really want Will Levis.
I completely agree. I think they want him too. But the latest quotes and it feels like he's not even going to be there at four. I think that's why I think a team would trade up to get him, because they're like, I think Vegas would be pretty confident there's no way he's getting all the way back to seven. So they'd have to come up to get him.
I think you're right. So I think Levis either goes at four or at five, because I also think the Seahawks probably are, like, the way they structured Geno's contract and just having the good fortune of getting this pick at five, it makes too much sense for them to, especially because whether it's Levis or Richardson, they're both sort of the raw need to learn, like need to get in the building, need to learn. And end up, like, I guess the scouts are saying Levis understands pro style passing offense, but
I just don't think Carroll
is a built.
Do you think Carroll, he's so old. Do you really think Pete Carroll wants to like build up a QB?
He's got the youth of a much younger man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. So okay. So we, that throws a wrench in how I did my mock. Cause I just had Will Anderson going to I had the Cardinals just standing pat. I didn't have any trades in mind, which I think is obviously unlikely. I think this draft is pretty ripe. So I guess, for the Raiders to go from seven to three, knowing that Arizona probably won't cling as closely to the trade value chart because they themselves don't need a quarterback, they're probably thinking like, this is sort of gravy, right? We pick up, so we go from three to seven, we pick up what, a second rounder this year and a second rounder next year, and that's probably more than enough because they're still going to be a really good defensive player when they're picking at seven.
Right. If Tyree does get pushed up into the Anderson, Jalen Carter group, then there's basically three really good defensive players. And you would still assume in this scenario, if it goes Bryce Stroud and then Vegas is coming up for Levis, that Richardson probably goes before you're up at seven. So like you're probably getting all four QBs off the board and you're going to have a pretty good consolation prize of a defensive player at seven, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, so in this universe, worst they could do as a defensive player at seven is Christian Gonzalez, but likely probably with the quarterback stuff in there, they're probably getting one of Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson, sort of depending on how this board goes. Now, in this universe, if Levis is really the guy the Colts want, I don't think they take Richardson. I actually think they just take Will Anderson. I think, in terms of need, you know, how big of a need is it for the Colts? Obviously, like everything else doesn't matter if you don't have the quarterback. Their edge situation, it's like they have guys you've heard of. Kwity Paye is sort of like a fine player. They do have DeForest Buckner on, like, as their a tackle who's good at creating pressure from the interior. I think they just take Will Anderson. I think if Levis goes ahead of him, I think they just take Will Anderson, honestly.
Well, then I'm on the clock with the Seahawks at 5, and
yeah.
I don't think I don't agree with your take that they would go QB.
That they would take Richardson.
Yeah, I think they think Geno. I mean, I know the way his contract is structured, but I think they think he's like a. I mean, good that gives enough. Them flexibility, but yeah, he's good enough, and they want to win, and they want to use this pick to be better this year to win. Like, I think they're trying to win a down division. I think they would take Jalen Carter in this situation, who's a really top talent, obviously some off-field stuff.
And that is defensive tackle is a bigger need for them than edge in general. Just like, I'm not stating that I know the ins and outs of every edge rusher. This is like based off of going through athletic articles and reading other mock drafts, but they have two edge rushers who are on expiring deals, but on the roster, who each had 9.5 sacks last year, which is pretty good. So yeah. I actually agree with you. I think Jalen Carter feels more like
the biggest reason I've heard this might not happen is people say, well, the Seahawks have had some trouble with off field players in the draft in the past. Like I've seen Malik McDowell brought up. I just don't really buy that. I think Pete Carroll's whole thing throughout his whole coaching tenure has been
I totally agree with this.
We're a culture team. Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch, those types of guys existed and thrived in Seattle. They've always tried to acquire guys that they thought would be, they could get them into the building in Seattle and they would be a good fit there. And they'd get this positive, culture. And so anyway, I don't think they have any issue with that.
Yeah. That would be my exact same read on it, is that they probably pride themselves on being an organization that's like, we can bring someone in who's maybe a little bit undervalued, but our culture, our winning ethos is going to fix all of that.
DK Metcalf, I think that was part of why Metcalf fell a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they've made those picks and they've worked too. So, yeah.
So this actually even puts me in a better fan fiction universe than the mock draft I did, where Anthony Richardson goes to Seattle, because Anthony Richardson going to Detroit is actually even more fun. You put him in there with Swift and St. Brown and Jameson Williams, like it just becomes, they're already Twitter's favorite team, but then they really become Twitter's favorite team. Now, Goff's contract, I think, is a little bit more onerous. I think it's a little bit more difficult to get out of. I'm going to look up. Yeah, so they just passed. Well, his cap hit is not that big, and it expires after next year. And if you have Anthony Richardson on a rookie deal, it's actually probably not. So Goff's cap hit this year's $30 million. Next year, it's $31 million. But if you, Anthony Richardson, rookie cap hit, Jared Goff, that still is about equal to, what Derek Carr is getting paid or whatever. So it's not terrible. I feel pretty good about that. I just don't think Anthony Richardson gets past one of Seattle or Detroit. So
yeah, it would be fun. I would hope they would,
I would hope they would do it.
Yeah.
All right, so through 6 picks, Young, Stroud, Levis, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Anthony Richardson, all 4 of the big quarterbacks are off of the board. You're up now with your traded pick with the Arizona Cardinals at 7.
Yeah, so the Cardinals come back to 7. A lot of people are mocking Tyree Wilson to them at 3, and that reportedly they might like him even more than Will Anderson on the edge. He's still there. I also think an offensive tackle could be in play for him, but I'm just going to take Tyree for this exercise, because I think you trade back and this guy that you maybe liked at 3 anyway is still there. You probably just take him.
I think that's pretty spot on. Paris Johnson, I have been hearing these rumors that these mumblings that Paris Johnson is a lock to be a top 10 pick. I think he still probably will go top 10 no matter what, but it does feel like in this exercise like it just works out exactly. Honestly, looking at it makes me be like, both these teams should actually do this, because the Raiders are going to get frozen out of quarterback if they don't do this. And the Cardinals are guaranteeing themselves one of Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson, or absolute worst case scenario, they can get a stud offensive tackle.
Right. They can go tackle.
Which they kind of need. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I think that trade makes the most sense. And it really wouldn't be that surprising if it happens. That's the one that I'm kind of eyeing.
All right. We got the Atlanta Falcons here. Talk me out of giving them Bijan Robinson. Well, talk me out of it.
I got this tweet from Ryan McChrystal like a week ago. I don't know if you saw it, but in Terry Fontenot's roles as director of scouting, assistant GM, and GM, 10 years in total, his teams have drafted one running back inside the top 150 picks. It was Alvin Kamara at number 67, third round pick. They've also drafted just five running backs total. Two are in the seventh round. There are some we talk a lot about running backs don't matter on this. There are some teams, some GM, some organizations and people within the league that do seem to understand you can't put a ton of resources into the running back position. There are other teams that don't seem to necessarily believe the same way. And those are the ones that we spent a lot of time arguing about whether they should, you know, use premium picks on running backs, et cetera. That's pretty damning evidence right there. One pick in the top 150 picks of drafts in his 10 years in NFL front offices.
Okay. So I'm not even needing to dispel that. How, like, what level of sway do you think Arthur Smith has over this selection and over the front office in general? Like, is this the coach is being treated as a rental employee, or the coach is sort of this is Bill Belichick, Parcells style, like, this guy is the CEO? Because If it's 51-49 to Arthur Smith, they're fucking taking Bijan Robinson.
That was a great spin, because if Arthur Smith has any say, I'm with you, man. I think they're taking him.
Yeah, I'm going Bijan here. Other possibilities for Bijan, because it gets if Atlanta doesn't take him and Chicago doesn't take him, you're looking at the Patriots as the wild card team, but then down to like the Cowboys, honestly, as the other, and there are plenty of teams that have incentive to trade, and this is a weird draft because multiple teams have multiple first round picks, multiple teams have no first round picks, so it's going to get weird. Like, I think we're going to see some weird trades in the 20s, but I am going to select Bijan Robinson to the Falcons. I just think so much of their decision making, like taking Pitt so high, taking Drake London over Kenny Pickett, for example, like, I just think they're like, we just want to get a bunch of playmakers. We just want to get a bunch of blue chip guys and then kind of just let the season fall where it may. And I mean, we know, like, what they had that drive after Mariota threw that pick last year, they had a drive where they ran 15 straight plays. Like, in their minds, they're not even saying, oh yeah, you know, we take Bijan and then that means Tyler Algier is put out to pasture or whatever. Like, they're like, no, we're going to run the ball 500 times as a team.
I mean, I don't want to see it for fantasy.
I don't want to see it either.
But it would not be that surprising, obviously. The Bears at 9, I'm just going to break the offensive tackle seal and take Paris Johnson. I think they got to protect Justin Fields. Like,
yep. That one feels just extremely straightforward. It's the biggest need. They have a terrible offensive line. They need Paris Johnson more than they need Smith and Jigba. They need really... because they're getting, I mean, the clock is ticking on figuring out if Justin Fields is a guy worth paying this extension to or not. And the horrible sack rate is the knock against him. But I think you could reasonably argue the sack rate is so fed into them literally having the worst offensive line of football, at least partially. So I think they feel like a lock to either trade down or just take the highest offensive tackle on the board.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. The Eagles at 10. They're kind of interesting because they're a fanfic spot for wide receivers. I don't think that makes sense. I think this front office is more about the edge rushers, and which is, again, is weird because we have two fallers here sort of at cornerback and Christian Gonzalez and Devin Witherspoon. But I think that Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia, just looking at the combination of the betting markets and at grinding the mocks, he's viewed as the next best edge rusher behind Tyree Wilson and behind Will Anderson. I think this is a pretty logical fit. And we know, they have pick at 31 too. They might take another edge rusher. Like, they might take two because they love to have, like, they want to have like six of these guys because they rotate them so much.
Fair enough. That puts me.
This was a hard pick when I was working when I was working on Moxie earlier, because they haven't really chosen a direction. They don't have any wide receivers. They don't have an offensive line, and they also need defensive backs. But obviously in rebuilding, you wouldn't think of defensive backs as being the starting spot. You would think of offensive line, but the cornerbacks here are better than the offensive linemen.
Right. And then the fun thing, the fanfic thing is, yeah, take JSN, pairing with Treylon Burks. You have this outside receiver, you have the slot receiver, and they'll actually, you know, be able to do fun stuff. But I think you're right. I think it's gotta be cornerback. Just because when you look at like grinding the mocks, Devin Witherspoon's been the number six overall player. He's expected to go kind of in the top 10. Christian Gonzalez is the other one. I'm looking at some other mocks that is in the top 10 for some.
The mocks are pretty split on which one, because Witherspoon's really small. So some mock drafters are like, yeah, he's really good, but he's too small. So we're not buying this team, basically.
You have any idea where Tennessee leans in their preference for cornerbacks? I wouldn't know which they would prefer.
I would guess, just not, I mean, not knowing hardly anything else, I would guess that they would lean on the bigger guy. That would just be Vrabel's thing, right?
Yeah, that seems to make sense. That's kind of what I was thinking too, why I asked. So that would be Gonzalez.
Yeah. And that's who I had in.
Let's do it.
That's who I had in mind. So this next pick, the Houston Texans at 12, this is a mind fuck, because in this fictional universe where they draft CJ Stroud, it just makes all the sense in the world to just have them take Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? You give Stroud his binky from his junior year or from his sophomore year, but he's not even close to the best prospect on the board, right? So we still have Broderick Jones. We still have Miles Murphy. We have two really good offensive tackles, Peter Skoronski and Darnell Wright, like just kind of the way it's working out. My heart and head feel very split here. I want to give them Smith-Njigba, but let me take a little bit closer look at the Texans draft needs, because in the one I did earlier, I still had Nolan Smith on the board, but they do need a wider. You know what? Let's just do it. Let's just give them Smith-Njigba.
Just do
like,
it.
It's cool. It's one of those things where like I feel like maybe the guys in the room even feel it if it works out this way. They're like, we got Stroud. JSN is here. Like, why don't we just do it? I it's the most fun selection.
I mean, the if nothing else, people who may be listening to this podcast who have rooted for the Texans, if anyone still roots for the Texans, they'll have at least like a little bit of enjoyment from hearing the possibility that their team might do something fun on this pod before they inevitably do something different on Thursday night.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Absolute. This was the hardest pick that I did in my mock. I changed it like four times. You have the Green Bay Packers, who far and away their number one need is a tight end. Like they got nothing out of tight end. They don't even really have good wide receivers either, but JSN is off the board again in this fictional universe. They also need a safety, but there is not a top 20 safety in this class. Really, it would be a huge reach to take Brian Branch here. And every team always needs edge rushers, and there are a couple good ones here. Miles Murphy, Luke Van Ness.
One of the implications with the pick swap with the Jets as part of the Rodgers deal that I saw was that they might be trying to leapfrog the Patriots specifically for offensive tackle, because the Patriots might be in the market for an offensive tackle.
The Patriots, if they don't take an offensive tackle, I mean, who can predict the Patriots, but I would be shocked if they don't take an offensive tackle if the board falls this way.
Right. The board falls this way. You got Peter Skoronski, Northwestern boy, Big Ten boy, Green Bay. I think they're taking it's not local kid, but like what, a state over that's down in.
Yeah. This
Great
this,
Lakes region.
This more closely aligns with the betting markets, having them take Skoronski. And it does also, it just makes sense, right? Like they need it. An offensive tackle, if he's really good, I mean, it's probably the second most important position to nail on offense, honestly. I mean, you pay that guy, he pays for you for 10 years. Like, it doesn't matter if Jordan Love stinks, he'll be there for your next good quarterback, assuming that he stays healthy. So I'm with you. All right, I have the Patriots here. Very easy for me. I am going to take, I'm not going to take Broderick Jones. I'm going to take Darnell Wright, because I think the Patriots will never stick exactly to the Patriots will never stick exactly to the way that, I mean, they'll probably take some D2 left tackle I've never heard of, who, you know, the sequel to the Cole Strange pick, but their needs are just so clear. Like, their offensive line was so bad last year, and they're a team that wants to run. Like, it just, they got to take a tackle here.
So we still have Devin Witherspoon.
Yes, we still have Devin Witherspoon. But honestly, this is, I think this is actually a real possibility. Like, sometimes you get into these alternate realities of mock drafts where you painted yourself into a corner. But I actually think he's a realistic faller, because some teams, I mean, for example, the Packers, would, even if they had no cornerbacks on the roster, they're so strict about guys inside of their size modeling. Like, some teams are just not going to draft guys like this.
Sure, makes sense. I don't think the Jets make a lot of sense either. It's part of why I was thinking that, because of Sauce.
No, the Jets are
Carter at the nickel.
The Jets are probably, I mean, Devin Witherspoon is just like not a physical specimen at all.
What? I mean, so the Jets, a mock I'm looking at as Broderick Jones to the Jets. Do they go tackle here? I mean, I think they're still trying to figure out their tackle spots, right? With Mekhi Becton having been injured.
They don't have an answer at all, really. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's, I've been reading as sort of the development option. Dwayne Brown, what, is he a free agent after this year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, they're all like, I don't remember the exact specifics. I was doing the research this morning, but basically it was like the Jets are like super screwed if they don't get one offensive line starter out of this draft in some degree. It doesn't matter if they have to shuffle them around. Doesn't matter if the guy they draft has to play left tackle or right tackle. They just can't have Ayahuasca Aaron playing behind the offensive line that they have right now, basically.
For sure. So let's take Broderick. That makes it three straight out tackles. Because you took Darnell Wright for the Pats.
Yeah, we got Skoronski, we got Wright, and we got Broderick Jones. That
to me makes me think this could, the Jets were maybe willing to trade from 13 back to 15 because they were wanting to go a different way. Yeah, well, maybe because there's options, or maybe because they were thinking of going a different way. Because it'd be kind of odd for them to have traded back these two picks and then take the third of the three tackles. But maybe
and there
the
are,
way you framed it is right, that there's options.
There are, I mean, so the Jets would also have the option of taking an edge here. You know, they could take Miles Murphy. They could take a cornerback, Lucas Van Ness. Yeah, like they're not in a bad spot with this pick swap at all. But again, also would make sense for a reason the Packers could want to do it is if they think the Texans take an edge or something, that gets them into a better spot to take JSN as well.
Is it too early for like Michael Mayer to pop up from
My first mock draft, I had the Packers taking Michael Mayer
in this spot.
And, well, yeah, but then I went back and realized I didn't have Jalen Carter getting picked, so I had to go back. I had to go back and rework it. But the big rumors right now are that the Cowboys and the Packers both really want Michael Mayer. It's just a matter of if taking Michael Mayer at 13 makes sense for Green Bay, I think.
Yeah.
But to me, it does, because if Michael Mayer is a hit, like, drafting tight ends is so weird. Like, George Kittle's a fifth round pick. Noah Fant's the fifth overall pick. George Kittle is like, you know, so much better. Like, it tight ends are so random, but getting the hit is really valuable. We can end the Devin Witherspoon fall here. We can have him go to the Commanders. The Commanders have like nothing at cornerback. They have Kendall Fuller, but he's like the slot. They don't have a slot corner, which used to not be a big deal, right? You play 4-3 or 3-4 but now nickel is your base set. So if you don't have a starting slot corner, you don't really have one at all. And the athletic bloggers, the guys who do the Commanders coverage, think cornerback and offensive line are their biggest needs, but they're at the bad run of the offensive tackle run here.
That makes sense. I got Pitt after that, and one of the best available players by, you know, the mock averages is Joey Porter Jr.
Pittsburgh Steeler legend
Joey Porter. I think Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are definitely game for that. Are definitely game for going and getting Joey Porter Jr.
And it's a real need for them too. They I mean, with some of these teams, you kind of look through the draft need stuff and you're like, Well, yeah, they're just like a very mediocre team. So getting a blue chip player at any position, honestly, like the Commanders, it's like, I don't know. You could tell me the Commanders take anyone and it would be a need because they're just such a mediocre
For
team.
sure.
Same deal. Like, I think the Steelers could take a wide receiver here, setting up to trade away or not pay Deontay Johnson. But if the two most likely selections for the Packers or for the Steelers to me are whatever edge rushers there, Murphy or Van Ness, or I'm totally with you, Joey Porter Jr. It just feels like that's who they're going to take, right?
It like, feels like too perfect of a fit.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, I'm going off the board here. I'm up on the board with the second Detroit Lions selection. And big mock draft, big NFL, you know, Peter King, Daniel Jeremiah, all these guys, they've already said, oh, Jameson Williams suspension doesn't mean anything. It's not going to change the Lions strategy. They know who they want. They have their board. I think that's bullshit. I think that's such bullshit because not only do you have to worry about the first six games of the season where you're playing Josh Reynolds and Marvin Jones Jr. Yes, that Marvin Jones Jr. He's back. He's on the Detroit Lions again, and he's projecting as a day one starter for them right now. But you got to worry about the range of outcomes for Jameson Williams as a whole now. I mean, starting your career, ACL tear, 78 snaps in six games, then you miss the developmental time in year two. You come back in the middle of the season. Like, it's just, it widens the range of outcomes for more bust outcomes. And because St. Brown is the slot guy, you still need the long-term answer on the outside. I am going to go way down the board here, and I'm giving Quentin Johnston to the Detroit Lions as their number 18 overall selection. This was the farthest I went away from consensus, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, with the Williams pick and then bringing back Marvin Jones, and they like Josh Reynolds, and then obviously they have Amon-Ra, the suspension's real, but it would surprise me if they went wide receiver in the first round right now. I mean, I feel like they probably think they have enough depth there, but
it's
gives
really
them a physicality.
So the other thing you have to think of is they have no tight end. So it's not like you're like, okay, we lose Jameson Williams and, you know, our tight, like, no, like they're playing like Brock Wright as their tight. And not to say they don't get a tight end in this draft. They probably do. But again, counting on a rookie tight end to start, like, you never know. It feels like if you're only worried about the sixth game absence, obviously taking Johnston here doesn't matter at all. But if you're taking the longer lens and you just took Anthony Richardson and you're trying to build this like fun, explosive offense, it does make, and maybe this is just me being a fantasy football nerd or whatever and kind of wish casting it, but it just makes all the sense in the world to me.
No, I think smart teams are stockpiling depth at receiver, at cornerback, at these positions, because that's the way that the league's moving, more receivers, more cornerbacks on the field. I think it makes sense from that regard. I don't think it would shock me for any team to take like wide receiver depth. You know, it's just, it was just sort of surprising. It's not something I would like think of immediately for Detroit, but I can get it. I mean, they haven't had that kind of size and physicality at wide receiver since, I mean, Galladay gave him some, but, you know, probably since Calvin, really. You know?
Johnston is the replacement for the Shark role that they were using, but he's like, he can do way more. Like, he's not as limited as DJ Shark is.
Right.
Also wouldn't surprise me if they were a Michael Meyer team either, you know, because again, they literally do not have Brock Wright has like 17 career catches or something. Like, they've got no tight end set up on the roster. You have a terrible pick here. You're picking 19th for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whose draft needs are every position.
Everything. Yeah. I'm just going to say Lucas Van Ness, who's the next best player available.
Yeah,
he's the next best edge rusher. Edge is a need for them. They could be looking at multiple different edges here. Miles Murphy from Clemson's another one that's a possibility. I've seen tackle as a big one that'd be mentioned here, but the way that it's falling, it seems like it's a good spot.
Thinner at tackle. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what the Buccaneers have to be hoping for is they have to be hoping that one of Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, that all the steam is fake, and that actually no one really wants them, and that they're going to be like this. It's going to be Kenny Pickett, you know, from last year, where we were told, oh yeah, Kenny Pickett, top five, all these teams want him, and then actually no one really wants him.
One of those four QBs that we took in the top, what, six picks? You're saying one could fall way down here to 19.
It's depending on the mock draft you read, because
yeah, it's not crazy, but
why
like
it's
that...
possible is okay. If you go through, the Falcons don't really seem like a threat. Maybe on the very outside, they would be interested in Richardson, but the Bears, the Eagles, probably not the Titans. The Texans won't. The Packers won't. The Patriots won't. The Jets won't. Commanders maybe. Steelers won't. Lions, if they do it, it'll be at 5. So like, you don't have to squint that hard to see one of these guys squeaking sure. through.
Yeah. No, we've seen that happen. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just got traded this week. He pops to mind immediately. He was in heavy discussion to be the number one pick and then ended up going like 21 that year, right? Like he just fell because it's like no one else was really in the quarterback market. So, yeah.
100%. But Lucas Van Ness, I mean, again, everything is a need for them. He's a pretty highly rated prospect. This is right about where the grinding the mock stuff has him going. All right, so I'm up next. I've got the Seattle Seahawks second pick. In this fictional universe, they took Jalen Carter, defensive tackle, at number 5. I'm just going to give them the best available edge, who actually is a little bit higher rated than this. Miles Murphy, he's an edge from Clemson. Just, I mean, again, taking him at you wouldn't, I don't think you would reach on the next best edge. Well, maybe they do take Tyree Wilson at 5, but again, looking at this board, Van Ness could be here. The K-State edge will be here. Like there are better edge guys for them to take at 20 than defensive tackles. So giving them Miles Murphy. It doesn't feel like they take a wide receiver. It doesn't feel like they take a tight end. Like feels like they're, I mean, maybe an offensive tackle. Maybe they reach on one of these offensive tackles. But they kind of need like a guard or a center. And that would be reaching at this point too.
All right. I got the Chargers. And I've had enough of the way that they've built around Justin Herbert over the last few years. I was just talking about wide receiver depth. Literally last year, both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams missed time. They can't get anyone else to step up. Josh Palmer does not have a very good year for a guy who is, you know, supposed to be able to step into a bigger role
fine.
If that happens.
He's fine, but he's not.
He's fine. Yeah. Fine. We'll say he's fine. But when both the top two receivers get hurt, you'd expect him to draw more volume than he did. He wasn't very good on like targets, prior run, any of that stuff. And he wasn't really competing with anyone. Gerald Everett was seeing more volume than him on a per-route basis. The guy they need, Jordan Addison, was a very good Biletnikoff winner, very good at Pitt. Last year, didn't have as much raw production, and a lot of people have pointed that as a huge negative after he transferred to USC. But he just ran a lot fewer routes for whatever reason. If you look at it from a per-route basis, his targets
because they were blowing everyone out. Every game USC played, they were up by like 28 at halftime.
Right, and so his targets per outrun, his yards per outrun, his all of that pretty consistent to his Biletnikoff winning year the year prior. Way less of a fall off when you just look at it. I mean, the main fall off for Addison was that he ran fewer routes. So he's still like so. Instead, what you wind up with if you realize it, like he didn't get like worse last year, is you have a 3-year profile early to clear. That's the type of stuff that works. At wide receiver traditionally. I mean, I think it'd be a really good ad. Not really like in the Keenan Allen mold, not really in the Mike Williams mold, kind of complimentary to both. We might actually get Justin Herbert a third weapon that would, other than Austin Eckler out of the backfield, like a third downfield weapon. Please let it be. So
this is what I had in my mock. He is the most logical destination, I think, for. I think he's something the Chargers need. I actually think he is kind of in the Keenan Allen mold, though. So I actually think not that he can't be on the field the same time as Keenan Allen, but I think he's sort of the heir to Keenan Allen's role that he's had for the Chargers for the last decade. Is that as Keenan Allen gets phased out, Jordan Addison can take on more and more of those responsibilities.
He can take the targets in those lower depth for sure. But he also, like, you go back to his Pitt year. I mean, it's 1,786 air yards. Like he is a vertical element to his game as well. 12.4 ADOT, certainly above average. He can get downfield probably. I mean, I don't want to say more than Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen can do it fine. And Keenan Allen's obviously a longtime Pro Bowl wide receiver, but we're hoping Addison's good. But yeah, I agree with you. Addison could be kind of the long-term replacement for Allen, but also ideally be able to win at all depths.
Also, right? I mean, also low key. Maybe a replace. I mean, we forget that Austin Eckler like demanded a trade and said playing for the Chargers would be worst case scenario. Like, so that means they might have 120 passes they got to throw to someone else this upcoming year, and you don't want, I don't think you want to be targeting Keenan Allen and Mike Williams 350 combined times. So and you don't, I don't think you want to give 100 targets to Josh Palmer or Gerald Everett either. And even going deeper than that, kind of related to the Quentin Johnson pick, they have no depth. Like, no, behind those three guys, they have guys you've never heard of. You know, Michael Bandy, who was running routes for them last year, is in the XFL. Like, literally is in, going to be in the XFL playoffs, is playing for the Houston Roughnecks. So it's tough. Or maybe Arlington. I don't, but he is in the XFL.
He was running like 80% of the routes a couple times for them last year. Like, yeah, that's how.
So it's, woof. They have no depth. So this, it just, and it, we do keep hearing the NFL is lower on this wide receiver class than the mock drafters think. You know, Ben Albright was tweeting that. Albert Breer said stuff like that. But just sometimes you just see these fits that are so good. All right. The Baltimore Ravens, I mean, who the fuck knows? Like, I don't know. They could take Hendon Hooker. They could, like, they do have a lot of needs, but their entire organization is being, not held hostage, but they don't have a direction as an organization right now because they don't know who's playing cornerback for them. But I have consistently seen this cornerback. I got to go find Emmanuel Forbes, the cornerback from Mississippi State, like four of the big mock drafts from, you know, big draft people that have came out this last week had Emmanuel Forbes going even sometimes ahead of Deontay Banks, who went to Maryland. So denying that in-state connection. So I'm just going to go with people who know more than me, and I'm going with Emmanuel Forbes, a cornerback from Mississippi State. Don't know anything about Emmanuel Forbes. Don't know the scouting report. I'm just reading the tea leaves, and the Ravens love to take defensive players in the first round anyway.
I mean, that's good enough for me. I can't refute just reading the tea leaves.
The hardest thing for me in mock drafts is teams that pick like 20 or later who don't need an offensive player. I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, you know, it might somebody.
Be. And also when you get to what I thought you were going to say there, when you get to 20 or later, it's like, it could be a guy that has a mid two grade. Like once you get outside the top easily. 20, these guys suddenly wind up and you're like, all right, well, because no one was projecting this guy to go 22, but he went 22.
And teams might really value having the fifth year option on a guy for whatever reason. Like it's famously why the Ravens traded back up to get Lamar. Like they're just, this is at a point that I think is just very hard to project in general.
Which is where I'm at with the Vikings, who I
weird, have not done weird pick.
A lot of research on. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what I would do if I was like I've seen Hendon Hooker to them a lot. Kirk Cousins may not be there after this year.
It feels literally insane to take Hendon Hooker.
Right. They have needs. Like, they have like regression. They have cap issues. They need like a good player on a cost controlled rookie contract. I've seen like the wide receivers going here, and I'm like, well, if you have Justin Jefferson, like he's going to beat triple coverage and he's going to make everyone else get a play in single coverage. I don't think it's like that big of a need, especially because TJ Hawkinson was a hit at tight end last year. It's a need, but like, I don't know if you have to do it in the first when you have other needs. I mean, I think they probably need to go corner.
Yeah.
But you were just talking about this Deontay Banks guy. Is he the next best corner available then?
I mean, most it's like Banks or Forbes are kind of like the coin flip. I mean, most people think Banks is better, but I'm just writing the like Peter King had Forbes here. I want to say McShay's had Forbes to the Ravens. So that's why I did it. What this is a little pocket. The Ravens, the Vikings and the Jaguars all need cornerbacks, which makes this a weird little pocket of the draft.
Yeah, I'm going to go Banks then. That's not a crazy pick for the Vikings, right? They need corner.
No. That's most of the team writers have cornerback or defensive tackle as the number one need, but the best defensive tackle is more like a early second round style pick. So this Banks makes more sense.
Sweet. That's who we're going with for the Vikings.
So the Jaguars again are one of those weird teams where it's like they don't really need that much on offense. They've signed Evan Engram to the extension. They're adding Calvin Ridley. They paid Christian Kirk all that money. They got way more out of Zay Jones than they thought. The offensive line is actually pretty strong, you know, so they're not really looking at sort of those classic positions that you're thinking of like a team that won a playoff game last year. So I think they're probably going to take a corner or an edge rusher. Top of our board, we have edge rushers. We got the kid from Notre Dame, Isaiah Foskey. We have Will McDonald, who went to Iowa State, and we have you know, we just passed the elite tier of both for these guys. Feels like maybe they could make a luxury pick of a tight end because they're like, you know, we hit the absolute jackpot with Evan Engram last year. Let's not count on that again. But I'm just going to give them the best available corner. Again, I'm not giving you a scouting report on Calais Ringo. But he went to Georgia. That's good enough for me. You were a defensive starter at Georgia.
Right.
Good enough for me. So I got him going to the Jaguars.
That works.
So the Giants.
Just being a Georgia boy.
I got a good fact for you here about the Giants.
I love it because I don't know what to do with the Giants. So tell me.
I think they're about to make a massive reach because they do not have a natural center on the roster. Oh. They don't have a center. And they just signed all these guys at wide receiver. Now, but Quentin Johnston, the guy who would make sense for them to get an outside guy, he's gone. They don't really need a tight end. They just traded for Darren Waller. I in my mock draft, I had them taking a guy who's like in the 50s on big boards. Most Wisconsin ass offensive guard named John Tippmann.
Joe
Tippmann. He's a center. He's a center. He started it.
What about this John Michael Schmitz guy? I thought that's where you were going.
Same deal. Big Ten centers, right? Big Ten centers from Wisconsin, Minnesota. I think you could. This is the only team that would take them in the first round.
Yeah,
but it's one of the cases of the team need being so glaring. I don't see how you avoid it.
This is where I was gonna go. Here was to center. I was going to take the Schmitz guy, but I mean, sell me on your dude from Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin and Minnesota.
My thought process is I don't ever remember an offensive lineman being drafted from Wisconsin and being bad. The Cowboys took a guy in the fourth round, Tyler Badiaz, and he was like a third or fourth round pick, and he started for them week one of his career and has like never missed a game. The Wisconsin offensive linemen. So it's like drafting doesn't have to be that hard.
All right. That's who we're taking. Who I don't even remember what his name was, but we're taking the Wisconsin offensive lineman. I'm just putting center on my sheet. Like the Giants are going center. Like
he's also huge. He's 6'6", 315. Like he is a big
dude,
boy.
The way that they want to play, I mean, they're pretty run heavy. Investing in interior offensive line just like, It just makes sense. Like it doesn't make sense, but it just makes sense for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. All right. Very easy here. If this plays out this way for the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is going to do, he's going to move the fastest he's moved in years to call in Michael Meyer at pick 26 for the Dallas Cowboys. They love him. They want him. Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot are the only tight ends on the roster.
Dalton Schultz is in Houston now.
Dalton Schultz is in Houston. Even in this fictional universe, so let's say another team hops up for Michael Meyer. I think they take Kincaid. I mean, I just think they need a tight end and want a tight end so bad. You know, I can't call any great memories of what a fucking Brian Schottenheimer offense is like, but I do remember when Mike McCarthy was in Green Bay, they'd be carrying like five tight ends at a time. You know, like they just want to have them. This again feels so obvious. Like I just think Michael Meyer is going to be a Cowboy.
I like it. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense.
You have a hard pick here because the Bills either we want the Bills to take a wide receiver, but they and all the positions they want are not glory positions. It's like guard or like nose tackles.
And I mean, one of the things with the Bills over the last few years, I've actually really enjoyed seeing from them is that they love taking highly productive, like sort of like Rotovision, like, you know, these analytical, yeah, like wide receivers. Gabe Davis had that profile. Isaiah Hodgins, they took, he was hurt a little bit. They ended up cutting him. He does well with the Giants. Khalil Shakir last year, same type of dude. They've been and so the guy here on most boards is Zay Flowers, but he's not like really in that mold. He's a four-year guy, wasn't super productive until his final year. He's more of a film grinder, wide receiver buff. I don't think it's the Bills' MO to go take him. there's some talk that they like Josh Downs to play the slot for them. And I think that would actually be a really good fit. He'd be like the new Cole Beasley. He's pretty limited, but really good agility numbers, good explosion numbers, and has the production as like a pretty pure slot guy, but he's only like, you know, 5'9", 177 or something. He's a really small dude. Yeah. Not going to be like an outside receiver.
Downs and Hyde are both really small.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be surprising to see them go him here as well. But I don't really have another pick.
So the things they need a linebacker and they need tackles. So there is a good tackle here. The guy from Pittsburgh, Kalijah Kancey, but it's like, we got Josh Allen and we're relying on Khalil Shakir this year. Like I think you can make a very strong argument that they sort of go off the board and take Downs or Hyatt here. Cause the guys available are not blue chippers, and wide receiver is such an obvious need for a team that wants to throw as much as they do.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, no, so the other one I was just thinking, I think that makes sense. I was thinking through, I was looking at Brian Branch from Alabama, the safety.
They do need a safety, yeah.
Hyde and Poyer are still under contract. Are they, like, on the final years of their deal? I remember.
They're also entering their age 32 seasons, and they were, like, both hurt all of last year. They just both kept getting, and Matt Milano, too. That's the other thing, is you never want to take smart teams like this hate to take first-round linebackers, and there aren't linebackers that are really this high on the board. But they were a team that just kept getting gashed last year because their linebackers either stunk or were hurt. Like, Matt Milano just kept getting hurt.
So Poyer re-signed, I think. He's got a two-year deal. He's under contract through 2024.
Hyde is the one who's a free agent.
He's going to be a free agent after this year. Maybe they don't go safety. The other guy I was looking at was Jahmyr Gibbs. But, I mean, they brought in Damian Harris. But Gibbs is – there's been a lot of buzz.
A lot of buzz that he might go in the first round.
Right. And he would be a fun, explosive type player. But I mean, they traded for Hines last year. They brought in Damian Harris. They have James Cook. Probably not going running back again, but they have had some fun going after running backs. All right, let's go. What were you saying? The offensive tackle?
They need like a guard. They could take one of these. They could take one of these tackles too. But we're pretty far down the board at tackle now.
What was the case you were making? Offensive guard or defensive tackle?
They have three guys. All three of their guys who played snaps this last year are set to be free agents after this season. So adding a rotational guy this year who's under contract for five more years is pretty strong. And there are decent. There's Brian Breese from Clemson and Kalijah Kancey. Like, they're two decent defensive tackles here.
All right.
I don't really know what they're going to do.
I don't know the trenches. You're over here spouting off a bunch of stuff about their D tackles and their interior offensive line options.
I think Kancey is higher in the betting markets.
All right, let's say Kancey.
Okay.
Done deal.
All right, we got this. We're working for you guys. Gretchen and I are grinding here for you guys. All right, I'm going. This is my other one that's way off the board, but I think you're going to like this one. I think you're going to agree with my logic here on pick 28. For the Bengals. So what are the two things the Bengals need? They need a guy to catch passes at tight end because they got Irv Smith Jr. and no one else, right? It's like, I think Devin Asiasi is their backup tight end right now. Sure. But Irv Smith Jr. he's like $1.2 million and it's not even fully guaranteed. But they also need to keep Joe Burrow off his ass because the offensive line was really bad last year. The tackles here are not great. This is my logic. Why not draft a guy who can do both, which is Darnell Washington? He's like the best blocking tight end since George Kittle. He's unbelievable. Like the videos of him doing the sled compared to all the other tight ends at the combine were nuts. Yeah. And
he's a giant human.
Giant human. And I think you can sell yourself on, he hardly got targeted, but he was really efficient when he did get targeted at Georgia. So maybe there's something there. I think the Bengals take Darnell Washington at 28.
He's a super good player to pair with Irv Smith in terms of if you want to run two tight end stuff, but like they're a pretty heavy 11 personnel team. Like, are they really going to
put Tyler Boyd is 29, I think. Like, 30, you know, Tyler Boyd is getting to the stage of his career. Okay, he's going to be 29 this year. So he's getting to the stage of his career where you start to think, like, Do we want to keep playing this guy?
Is he going to be sent out to pasture so that they can go Chase Higgins and two tight end sets? I mean, it's possible. And they could rotate Irv on more obvious passing downs, but have Washington in on, you know, on early downs. A lot of teams do that with their tight ends with, like, both guys. I mean, even, like, I don't know why Seattle popped in my mind, but, like, when they traded for Noah Fant, everyone wanted him to play a ton, but they were still playing Will Dissly. Like, they're both at, like, 60%.
And Darnell Washington is just, like, he is. He's, like, Dissly on steroids, you know? He's, right. Like, the best possible version of that type of tight end.
I can see it. I can squint and see it.
People, right. Like, Joe Goodberry, biggest Bengals fan I know on Twitter, he's talked about this, like, Meyer, Kincaid, Washington. And the downside with Washington is obvious, which is you spend a first-round pick on a guy who turns out to not be good enough to catch passes from Joe Burrow, so you basically just drafted, like, a swing tackle at 28 or whatever, which feels terrible. But I don't know. I don't want to see them take, like, Gibbs or whatever. Like, a running back is worst-case scenario here.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm going to drop that bomb on. Well, I don't know. You have the Eagles coming up. You might take them there. But the Saints are next.
They need everything.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what to do with them.
So the Saints' biggest needs, I mean, it kind of is just like everything. You know, they don't really have that strong of anything. They need a defensive end, they need wide receivers, they need safeties, they need linebackers. Like, they don't have a strong positional group anywhere, really.
Do they need safeties? Is Branch a good pick here?
I do think Branch will end up going in the first round. I don't know if a team will trade up or trade down for him, but, you know, it's sort of like what Daniel Jeremiah said, like, it's a bad year to need a safety. But Branch was the starter at Alabama, and he also can play nickel corner some too, so teams are that's sort of how his agent is representing him. Like, he'll be able to be on the field as a nickel corner too.
All right, we're gonna give him to the Saints, even though I can't really defend that pick at all.
He's the highest rated prospect on the board right now from the betting markets. Like, he's the 18th, if you look at the betting odds, he's like the 18th highest guy.
Nice.
So yeah, again, some of these selections are like, yeah, they're gonna take someone. I don't really know who. The Saints are just a weird team. All right, who do we think the Eagles take? We can collaborate on these last two because these are the most fun selections.
Well, so for KC, I thought it'd be really fun if, you know, reliving the CEH last pick of the first round,
right,
pick from a few years ago. But the mistake they made was not taking an actually talented back. They could have taken Jonathan Taylor. They also could have taken DeAndre Swift, who's the guy that Jahmyr Gibbs is constantly comped to. Isaiah Pacheco was great last year. You get a production out of a seventh rounder. I would argue he wasn't very good in the passing game. They still wanted, like, a Jerick McKinnon type. McKinnon is just, like, you know, he's very old. You called him Dead Legs McKinnon on one of our pods together, like, 3 years ago. And he's still, like, kicking around somehow.
Veach just said, so interesting you bring that up. Veach just did media availability this last week, and he said, yeah, we haven't really been talking to Jerick, but he likes to take his time anyway, so we figured we'd call him after the draft, which was interesting just because I hadn't heard them mention him at all. I was talking with Karain last week, or no, actually I was talking to Sam and Kyle Dvorak, and I was like, you know, they could bring, because Daryl Williams and Damian Williams are both not on teams right now, which seems insane. They're like, what, you're bringing back these 30-year-old running backs? It's kind of the way they do it. They love to bring in LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette
fun if they brought in Gibbs and use him as their space back, like their Jerick McKinnon? I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs in this offense. They're not going to do it. They're going to probably just bring in some 30-year-old, like you said, or bring McKinnon back. But Gibbs would fit the McKinnon role alongside Pacheco. That would be a pretty dang good 1-2 punch.
Yeah. I mean, I think, unfortunately, I think it would be fun for the Eagles to take one of these wide receivers and to just go, like, full on, like, let's score 35 points a game. But that's not what Howie's going to do. Howie's going to take one of these edge guys, whoever it is, I think.
Yeah.
Will McDonald, there's a guy who went to K-State, Felix Anduke Uzama. They did, but that's just what he's going to do. Like, I just feel that deep in my bones.
I'm right with you. I don't buy this
stuff.
He's
not taking Eagles.
The Eagles stuff about Bijan at 10, I don't really buy. I know he's one of the only, the Eagles are one of the only two teams that Bijan actually did a visit with, but, like, I legit think it was to try to drum up interest with the Cowboys and try to make the Cowboys trade up. Like, I think they're messing with Jerry. And I think Howie, there was a lot of people that he got asked about whether they would take Bijan at 10. A lot of people were talking about this quote a few days ago. And he said something about, you know, you want a unique player at that spot. But he also made a comment like, we don't plan to be in this spot again anytime soon, basically. Like, it, you know, things can go wrong, but we don't plan to be picking at 10. We're a good team. And I think, I mean, that's another reason. Like, a lot of people read his comments about they just want a unique player. It's like, oh, he doesn't care about positional value. I don't know. I mean, that's a very obvious comment to make. I locked onto the other side of that quote where he said they weren't going to be picking there again soon. And it's like, well, then I don't think he sees it as a luxury pick. A lot of people have talked about this as a luxury pick for them. Like, I think he sees
smart
this as
teams
like,
don't smart teams don't make luxury picks. Like, right. the Chiefs are paying the cost of fucking up that Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick still, you know, like it was such a disaster for them that they're still trying to make up for it.
And Howie, I think, gets that almost more than anyone. He gets depth. He gets the value of rookie contracts. So what they do at 10, what they do at 30, I'm with you. Like, yeah, load up on edge players. Like, they obviously value edge depth. It was huge. They were one of the first teams ever last year to have what, like, three or four guys that had 10 or 11 sacks.
They rotate. They're like the number one rotating team on edge rushers. Yeah.
Yeah. They have depth in those positions. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. All right. We'll give them Will McDonald, the fifth from Iowa State.
And then
are you swayed by Zay Flowers thinking his workout process, combine process was done, and then the Chiefs ask him to go fly out to practice with Mahomes? Because let me tell you, I'm pretty swayed by the Chiefs literally calling him and being like, hey, do you want to go hang out with Pat for a couple days?
Can you stomach, you're a Chiefs fan. Zay Flowers is what, 5'10",
I just need anyone on that offense who can do anything after the catch.
How many receivers like this have they had? Like, he needs a Quentin Johnston. He needs a physical big receiver.
Well, theoretically, MVS is like that guy. Obviously, he's not in practice. He's not like in practice. MVS has not been that guy. A lot of stuff is
theoretically true.
Right. I mean, like, theoretically, they don't need a wide receiver because Kadarius Toney could just miraculously get steel hamstrings and play 80% of the snaps. But I also think they probably would rightfully self-scout and be like, Kelsey could just be done. Like, he could just show up to training camp and be 34 and start playing like a 34-year-old tight end. And so much of, like, if you think about Mahomes and the Chiefs' success, like, okay, what is, like, really the outstanding vision? It's not, other than the crazy Tyreek plays, it's not 60-yard deep balls and splitting. It's no, Pat dances around, makes an edge rusher miss, hits a guy underneath, who then makes a safety miss, and they just converted a 3rd-and-8 out of nowhere, right? Felt like the drive was over. And it's like, well, yeah, Toney can do that on the 7 snaps a game he plays, but MVS can't do that. Sky Moore, like, rest in peace, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, are they just admitting failure with Sky Moore? Sky Moore.
Because you can't be too proud. I think when you're playing at this level and the goal is to win championships, I don't think you can be like, yeah, they did it with Hardman. I mean, they admitted defeat on Hardman pretty quick. Like, Hardman.
Quick? They gave him several years of chances.
Was he a full-time player in year two? Maybe I'll change my mind if
no,
he was.
No, he was never really a full-time player. That was the hope. It was like, this guy would actually run around. It wasn't until like year four that he actually started playing a lot. And then it was like, oh, but he's also not good.
Yeah, so he played under 50% of the snaps in over half his games in year two. So I think they'll be in a – and Hardman was always a good punt returner, though, was the thing. So there was always at least some reason to keep him. And he was good on the jet sweeps and stuff. I just
– Are you saying Sky Moore's not a good punt returner?
Dude, it was making me – it was like one of the most underrated storylines of the season was that the Chiefs could not return a punt. Like, it would be like 50-50 that they'd be giving the ball back to the – I think Sky muffed –
They lost that game.
Punts.
Oh yeah, they lost that game against the Colts. He muffed one inside the 10-yard line like early, and that was the only touchdown the Colts got all game until like the very last drive.
Oh,
like,
my
they were
God.
Getting
that
nothing
game?
Going.
Yeah,
because Matt, that was like when Matt Ryan was quarterbacking and they were really bad offensively. I mean, I'm still mad about that because I had the Chiefs and they were like an easy bet that week, and they freaking lost on the road to the Colts because Sky Moore muffed a punt at the 5 yard.
It was. I think they lost like 13 expected points on special teams in that game or something terrible. Like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just they and really, it's just a matter of what's really going to be a more foundational piece of success. Like, there are edge rushers here they could take. There are offensive linemen they could take, and they do. I mean, they love having offensive line depth. That's like they're fetishists about that, but. You just need a weapon. You got to be putting shots on goal, because pretty soon Travis Kelce is not going to be a part. Like, Patrick Mahomes is 27, Travis Kelce is 34. Those circles are about to stop overlapping soon. And then you're like, what do you have? Like, if Travis Kelce broke his foot tomorrow, what do you have? You know, it's scary.
It gets real scary. So we can take Zay Flowers here. I'm just telling you.
You want Gibbs?
I'm not optimistic about Zay Flowers. I'm not. That doesn't make me.
You're just down on Flowers.
Yeah, right. I don't like the player fit.
Do you think Hyatt is a better fit, better talent? Like, because he just at least you'll have that deep route skill set to bail him out.
No,
Marvin Mims even.
There isn't really a great fit, I don't think, after Quentin Johnson. I think people might bring up Cedric Tillman as another big body, like, outside guy, but I don't really love him as a guy who wasn't really productive until his fourth year. Flowers is the dude that people like here. If I was them, I'd probably take a few shots later, like Mims, but I wouldn't probably try Mims at 31. I'd try to get him in the second.
I think Mims is going to be a surprise. Like, I think he's going to go in the 40s. Seems like people like Mims. Seems like people are getting hip to him.
It's possible. It's certainly possible.
Or, I don't know, Kincaid too. I think, like, you know, you just try and draft the Kelce replacement early. I think is a possibility. Although that is disproven really quickly, because you just go like, yeah, okay, you can draft another tight end, but you're never going to find another Travis Kelce. Like, he's a unicorn.
Right. And they did, like, they brought in Noah Gray a few years ago. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you're just Noah Gray
was fourth on the Chiefs in receptions in a Super Bowl winning year. So people forget Noah Gray, a quintessential part of a championship team. All right, I'm giving them Zay Flowers. So this is our
go for it.
This is our mock draft. Bryce Young 1, CJ Stroud 2, Will Levis, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Anthony Richardson, Tyree Wilson, Bijan Robinson, Paris Johnson, Nolan Smith, Christian Gonzalez, slight faller, Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the Texans, 3 straight offensive tackles, Skoronski, Wright, Broderick Jones, Devin Witherspoon and Joey Porter back to back. Surprising pick, Quentin Johnston to the Lions, Lucas Van Ness to the Buccaneers, Miles Murphy, Jordan Addison, Emmanuel Forbes, Deontay Banks, Calais Ringo, Joe Tippmann, the New York Football Giants, Michael Meyer, Kalijah Kancey, Darnell Washington, Brian Branch, Will McDonald, and Zay Flowers. That was a fun exercise. I feel like I learned more about what might happen.
I mean, I told you this before. I've never done my own mocks. I don't know how people do this. Like, there's so many ways we
could
win with
that. It's just and one thing you're like, oh, actually, I'm going to change that, and it's a whole thing. It's a mess.
Butterfly effect.
And thinking about Josh Norris getting 15 of these picks right one year is insane.
Crazy. And I mean, I imagine the more research you do, the more things you have to then wrestle with. And
it's actually more convoluted.
Like, it's got to be harder, right, at that point? Because then you're like, but I really want to trust this piece. But I really want to trust that. It's a lot easier when you're just like, I just showed up and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've been paying some loose attention, but I don't know that well. So
it's actually probably easiest if you just follow the betting markets, like whatever the betting markets close at. I bet if you just took like the highest consensus player for all the top 15 picks or whatever, you do better than, like, I don't know, you know, the most plugged in insider mock probably.
I mean, I don't doubt that at all. The markets are always. Sure.
And we didn't do any trades, right? There's probably going to be a minimum of 2 trades, I would say. Oh, sure. We did one trade.
We did one trade. Yeah. We did the one in the top 10, but I'm sure there'll be I was just looking at that too, and I was like, that's a hard thing. I mean, like, how do you structure the trades? There's always like big ones. Last year we had AJ Brown move in the middle of the first round for the Titans to take Treylon Burks. There's always like stuff that comes out of nowhere.
Hollywood got traded. I mean, last year's first round was nuts.
It was crazy. And I think we're going to get that this year. I mean, I'm kind of glad that Rodgers got traded before, because that would have been another big one. But it's going to talk like that. There's a good example of one where every mock up until now has had the Jets and the Packers in the wrong spot in the first round because they swapped.
Yeah, like, 100%.
There's going to be movement.
Yeah. All right, dude. What's coming on Ceiling Signals post-draft? You putting rookie rankings out? What's the vibe?
I wrote a little pre-draft rookie ranking thing today. I mean, I'm not huge in the dynasty streets, but I'll get my takes out there. I'm going to write up a receiver that's hopefully a day two pick, maybe day three pick that I kind of like either tomorrow or Thursday before the draft. It's kind of like not like my guy, but just somebody that I think is kind of intriguing that I haven't heard a lot about. Not like Marvin Mims, who, you know, I feel like he's everybody's favorite sleeper this year. After the draft, I'm going to start doing projections pretty heavy in May. Yeah, a lot of stuff coming for sure.
All right, beautiful. Everyone, sign up for Ceiling Signals. A link to that will be in the description of this show. Sign up for the Automatic Absolutes newsletter as well. You're just going to be fucking inundated with newsletters. You're going to get Karain's newsletter. You're going to get Ben's newsletter. You're going to get my newsletter. You're going to get Pete's newsletter. Every time you open up your email, there's just going to be a new newsletter. There's going to be something you have to read. And you can subscribe to the Patreon for this program as well. If you want more bonus content, doing lots of shows with Brian Hooper. And I'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.